This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Each weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, your Q, presented by Premier Insurance Group. Here is Shannon Sebastian with your Q on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of your Q, and I hope everybody has gotten to get out and enjoy some of this lovely, lovely, lovely sunshine and a natural vitamin D that we're getting right now. But welcome. I was actually out last week. We had pre-taped it, so I feel like it's been a long time since I've been in the studio. So I'm really excited to be back and sharing some fun, new, exciting things happening around Douglas County. Because as you know, our goal here at Your Q is to celebrate, uplift, and educate on the great things going on in and around Douglas County. And that's what we're definitely going to do on today's episode. So welcome. Glad to be back. And hopefully next week, Alan will be here bugging me right beside me, but he's not here today. So we're just going to try this on our own, even though we're going to miss him. So I would love to introduce our first guest, which is Erin Maidlow from Umpqua Valley Farm to School Program. Erin, welcome.
Hello.
Thank you for coming today, taking time out of this beautiful weather.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So I'm excited because I'm going to learn right along all the listeners about your program. So first, can you tell us how long you've been with the program?
I have been with Umpqua Valley Farm to School since its inception. I took over the nonprofit. It used to be Thriving Waters, and we kind of expanded what we do, and it has morphed into Umpqua Valley Farm to School. So we work with school gardens, we work with local farms, we do field trips, we help schools purchase local foods for their school meal programs. We do all kinds of fun food and health related stuff.
Well, I absolutely love that, you know, you're encouraging the schools and helping the schools take advantage of the lovely produce and the wonderful things that we have here locally. I mean, that's definitely, you know, what our show's about. And we have our local business buzz, you know, that we talk about things, shopping local, staying local. So I love that this actually promotes so many different things at the same time.
Yeah, we're pretty blessed to live here in Douglas County where we have produce that grows year round. We've got like seafood, we've got ranches, we've got blueberries and hazelnuts and pears and everything in between.
We definitely are blessed. That is absolutely for sure. So the program then, I know you said you do field trips and you do all these different things. So, but you are connected with the Phoenix School.
Well, our office is located in the Phoenix School, so okay. We do partner with them on some things. They have the largest school garden in Douglas County, and they have one of the few school gardens in the state that uses produce from their garden in the cafeteria. And they've been doing that for several years. So we're trying to, I would love to have Phoenix be like a central location, sort of like a learning garden for all the other school gardens mm-hmm. in the county even. So we'll get there at some point.
Eventually. So, I mean, this is just such a cool concept that I'm, like I said, I'm really excited to hear more about it. So I want you to tell us, why is your organization important now?
Oh, gosh. Douglas County, I don't know if you have looked at or maybe some listeners have seen the Oregon by the Numbers put out by the Ford Family Foundation, but it kind of ranks all the counties in Oregon based on health and a lot of different things. Douglas County has a lot of food insecurity, mm-hmm. and so we also have a ton of agriculture. So I just saw a big need to connect students to agriculture. We have FFA, we have 4-H, mm-hmm. which are really great programs. The elementary schools didn't really have a program like that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them have school gardens and have had them for a long time. They just kind of needed help getting them going, or someone to provide assistance, like technical assistance. You know, where do we get money? How do we get this started? Mm-hmm. What do we do with the food that we grow? So I had a lot of people contacting me, a lot of schools asking us to do education or just basic questions. So I think, about 4 or 5 years ago, we put together the Douglas County School Garden Hub, where I would host Garden Hub gatherings. And any school, any volunteer, really anyone is welcome to come to them. We still have them. And we just kind of talk about school gardens and what each garden is doing. A lot of times, there's one shining example that each garden is doing uniquely. So I try and host the meetings at different school gardens and showcase what that particular garden is doing. So our last one was at Melrose, and they really do a great job of using the garden to like refocus and bring kids out there to give them like a little positivity. And if you're having a bad day, who doesn't love to go out to a garden and put your hands in the soil and mm-hmm. pull a carrot out of it?
Absolutely. Well, and the funny thing about that is I actually had a conversation quite a long time ago with Tammy, the principal out there, and that was something that she was really passionate about getting started out there. So I'm really excited that that did happen, and that, you know, you're using that as one of the examples, because she really saw the value in it.
She still does. I actually talk to her quite a lot about their garden, and she's a wonderful advocate for school gardens.
Yeah, I think that's fabulous. Okay, so you're growing the food at these different schools, and some of them are using it in their schools, but what are some programs or other organizations that you help out?
So we have a lot of partnerships in the community, and that seems to grow every year. We are on the Food Systems Committee. It used to be called Food Policy Committee, but now it's Food Systems with Thrive Umpqua. So we work on a lot of food policy or just food-related issues around the county. So grocery stores, there's a breastfeeding coalition that's part of the Food Systems Committee. There's, that's kind of where our Plant a Row for the Food Bank program came about, which is a partnership with Feeding Umpqua. So we have seed libraries at several locations around the county, and folks can go pick up free seeds. And then you fill out a registration form and donate part of your produce back to Feeding Umpqua. And then they distribute it out to the food pantries. And then we're also doing one called the DC Produce Project, which came about from a nurse, Beth Durbin, at Douglas ESD. She decided that it would be fun to do a produce project where we take CSA boxes or produce boxes from local farms out to food deserts throughout the county during summer programs. So this summer, we're partnering with Feeding Umpqua on that. They have their mobile outpost, but we're going to areas that they don't hit and distributing produce boxes. So we're getting fresh produce for 4 weeks in a row from Valadez Organic Produce and Laney Farms, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also, this year, we did a really fun partnership with Heal Terra. So if you haven't heard of them, it's a worm poop organization. So they are composting food. They got a really cool community composting grant, which is a pilot project. So they're picking up produce from the VA, and then they want to expand to schools and restaurants. And then they take it out to their worm compost facility, which is at the Glide Transfer Station, and they turn it into worm poop, which is like black gold for your garden. So we taught education in schools and some middle schools, and then the kids got to go on a field trip out to the worm farm, and they also got little worm compost bins at their schools. So lots of fun partnerships going on right now. I feel really lucky that this is what my job is.
Yeah, absolutely, as you should. I think that it's really interesting because you know, I mean, as Americans in other countries, we're talked about how much we waste.
Right.
Absolutely. Like, we're the worst. I'm not saying that, but that's the perception, and maybe that's the truth. But I feel like what you're presenting today is really reducing a lot of the waste, and even what people wouldn't consider waste, because it may not be restaurant quality or cafeteria servable foods, is still being used to benefit the cycle in some way.
Yep. And that's what we try to teach kids for sure with the worm composting program. We even do food waste studies in the cafeterias. So the kids, when they throw away their food at the end of lunch, we collect it and then weigh it. And then with the classes, we have them figure out what percentage. We weigh it ahead of time and we weigh it at the end, and we have them figure out what percentage of food is wasted. And one school, it was about 25% of their food was wasted, which that was actually a lot lower than I thought it would be. And that's not including milk. Mm-hmm. But still, 25% is a lot when you multiply that by, you know, Roseburg Schools has, what, 6,000 kids?
Right.
So 25% of the food they're eating is wasted. So we, you know, by composting it and turning it back into soil and growing healthy foods, the kids love to eat stuff out of the garden. I mean, they'll often just go pick it out of the garden, brush it off, and take a bite. So they don't have any problem with trying new foods that, you know, parents or adults might say, my kid's not going to eat that, but they'll eat it straight out of the garden if they can grow it.
Well, and I always feel like, you know, when we teach our kids something new or we're showing them something and they're learning it and they're doing it and they're involved in it, there's that sense of pride that you get.
Exactly.
And so I think that would, you know, factor into this, that pride of, this is our school, this is our garden, I tilled that row, or I planted those seeds, and just, you know, that would get them reinvested in the whole process.
Yeah, it really does. When kids are out there and, you know, doing the work in the gardens, they do have a sense of pride in it. Glide has had, the elementary school has a really amazing volunteer, Mary Brown, who has, I think she's been there 10 years as a volunteer in their garden. Wow. And she's just amazing. And that whole garden, she has kids involved in. If they build a new raised bed, the kids help with it. There's really not a whole lot that the kids don't do in that garden. But, you know, it does give them a sense of pride and ownership and teaches them about respect. It teaches them, you know, how to eat healthy and that it's fun. They get exercise. Like I said, especially at Melrose, but not just at Melrose, it redirects behaviors. If you're having a bad day, go out to the garden and do some digging around.
do some
yeah, breathing.
Get your frustrations out. Get off some extra steam. Well, Erin, more to talk about this. So I think we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be back with your cue shortly. It's 419, and this is News Radio 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN. Back.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Welcome back to Your Q, sponsored by Premier Insurance. And in the studio, I have Erin Maidlow with me, and she is with the Umpqua Valley Farm to School program. And just gave us a wealth of information there in that first segment. So it's like, oh my gosh, we talked about so many cool things. So I have some other things that I kind of want to, I mean, what your program does is, yes, right? That's what I'm thinking. It's like your program's so diverse. And so actually kind of thinking about that, you and cross-cultural and diversity. So you guys have a program or something that you did recently. Would you share a little bit about that with us?
Yeah, we do a lot of cultural education. We try to tie in, you know, heritage months like Hispanic Heritage Month, Women's History Month, Black History Month, Asian American Pacific Islander Month. And a lot of times that means creating a recipe for students to try that's from that culture, reading books, talking about traditional growing methods. But we also did a really cool project with Cow Creek, where their linguistics person gave us, I worked with him for quite a long time, and he and their archaeologist shared a list of about 20 words for us in the Tequelma language that we're making signs for to put along the Glide nature trail that's outside of the school. And so those words are things that would naturally be there if it were completely native, which it's not right now, but hopefully in the next 10 years, maybe we can convert it back to native land where there isn't a bunch of blackberries and things that we all have growing. But Glide had a Native American History Day where the students got to come out and walk along the trail and see these signs with the Tequelma language. I probably pronounced Tequelma wrong, but the Tequelma language and then English translation and what their traditional uses are. So let's see, for instance, cougar, there's, you know, a cougar on the sign, and it talks about how teeth can be used for decoration. Same with some birds, the feathers. And then it talks about, you know, traditional foods and things like that, too. So that's a really cool project that we hope to have permanent signs completed on by around September.
And is that something, just curious, because that sounds amazing, is that something that the local public could also walk that trail, or is it just private for school?
Yeah, the trail's open to the public, so anyone can walk around. We did have laminated paper signs up, but we had to take them down just because we didn't want it to fall on the trail and get, you know, be littered. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we will have permanent signs and the public's welcome. And I would love to expand that to other schools as well. There's several that have reached out and said they would love to have that. Yonkala is also, I have some Kalapuya dictionaries from Esther Stutzman, which if you have not seen those or talked to her, she's just a fantastic wealth of knowledge about the Kalapuya people. And so hopefully we can work with her and develop something like that for Yonkala as well.
I just find all of this so fascinating. Honestly, I knew I was going to learn a bunch, but this is excellent. So I have to imagine you've inspired people by this, and that there are people out there that are very passionate about the composting and the gardening and all of this. So if we have any of those people listening that are just like, this is right up my alley, I would love to participate in some way with this. Is that an option for the community to also get involved with your gardening?
We love volunteers. So we actually have a volunteer day tomorrow at 12 o'clock at Winchester Elementary School, where we're going to build a new raised bed. Thank you, donations from community members. And then we have some other work to get done, but we often have volunteer days. And we also have some positions available on our website. We have 3 AmeriCorps positions available for the fall. 2 will be working in and around Roseburg at schools. And then 1 is positioned solely in Yonkala, doing, you know, school garden work, connecting the local produce to the cafeteria, doing all these awesome things that I've been talking about. And you can find all that information on our website. It's www.uvf2s.org.
That's exciting. So do you have paid positions and mm-hmm. volunteer positions? So all kinds of cool things.
Yeah, we have the AmeriCorps positions are paid. And then we also have the Food and Farm Corps, which that is a partnership with Phoenix School. And that is for youth age 16 to 24. They get paid to work throughout the summer working at the Phoenix School Garden, growing food, and the food will be used in the cafeteria, and maybe some of it will be sold to the community. The options are really open there, but we want kids to work in our local food system, and you know, that gives them career options for when they graduate or when they're done with the program. You know, they can go into maybe food service or agriculture. Our farmers desperately need workers right now. So I would love to have students come, you know, work at the Phoenix School Garden and then leave and go work on a local farm.
Absolutely. Well, that's an amazing opportunity, because there has to be youth out there now that just recently got out of school or graduated or are out for the summer or waiting to go back to school in the fall. And it's like, what a great way to just plug right in and do that and then, you know, go back to school. So
yeah, for sure. And it's about 20 hours a week for students. They are paid. They start at, I think, $12.70 an hour, and it goes up based on experience. So check out the Phoenix School website, give us a call, send me an email. You can contact us through my website too, or social media. Just get in touch any way you feel like it, and we'll hook you up.
Get talking. Yeah. One of the things you mentioned earlier were about going out to the different schools and showcasing what they do well or what they offer. So, and you talked a little bit about, just touched on it briefly, about field trips. So what's a field trip actually look like?
So the field trips were new this year. This was the first year we've been able to do them because of COVID. So we were so excited to do these this year and really nervous because it's a lot of planning, but we can say I did not have any hiccups at the field trips. So several schools got some education. The fourth and fifth graders did lessons in school. They worked in the garden. They prepared recipes. And then they got to visit, the fourth graders, I guess, got to visit farms. Some of them went to Laney Farm. And then we had some third graders visit Valadez Organic Produce, and then we brought some kids down from Bohemia Elementary School up in Cottage Grove even, and they visited Brozai Farm. And so at the farm field trips, they did some activities like a soil classification activity. They did farm bingo. They prepared and tried a recipe, and then they took a tour of the farm. So a couple of the farms, they got to do a tractor ride, which is always awesome, and then one they got always to walk around and check out. They got to harvest stuff at the farm too, so they were really fun. And then the fourth graders at a couple of the schools get to go back as fifth graders to the same farms and see, you know, what the difference between spring and fall at a farm looks like.
So you came during this time, and now you're coming when those seeds or seedlings are, you know, producing. So that's really great.
Yeah, and we hope next year we'll have a registration spot on our website so that any school will have release dates, and the schools can hop on and reserve their field trip on those release dates. So it's not limited to just the schools that we do direct education at. We'd love to be able to provide these to any school that wants to go.
I think it's so important that we, you know, I think a lot of times kids don't even know where their food comes from.
That's exactly right.
At all. And so you really will appreciate maybe that section of the store a whole lot more, and hold it in a higher regard and be like, this is fresh produce. Or maybe they'll get picky, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, I often see kids at the grocery store and they're like, hey, you're the garden lady. I see you. Mom, we have to get this produce because we grow it in the garden. And that's what we love to see. So, you know, that's what we're trying to do, is teach kids where their food came from. And we often ask kids, what's your favorite food and where does it come from? And, you know, a lot of times it's pizza or mac and cheese, but pizza and mac and cheese came from a farm at one point too. So we back up and back up and back
break
up
it down
until
and
they figure out, oh, well, that flour that the crust is made from did come from a farm.
Right. In the good stuff, not processed.
Yep.
Well, I mean, you just do so much. Do you rest at all?
I never sleep.
So you are the garden lady. Well, I think this is fabulous, and hopefully people will reach out and want to jump on board and maybe help out and give a little bit of their time. And you don't have to commit to a 40-hour a week volunteer job. Just
yeah. If we have lots of opportunities to just stop by for a couple hours and volunteer.
That is, I mean, in this weather, who doesn't want to get out?
Maybe not this weekend, but yeah. Tomorrow is supposed to be beautiful. So stop by Winchester Elementary at noon.
Also, I know, you know, we have some clients and people who are contractors or builders or whatever. I'm just wondering if they had extra materials sometimes left over, if they might be able to donate that to you.
We absolutely would love donations like that. Our organization is grant funded and ran on donations. So anytime there's lumber that's usable for building garden projects or, you know, cash donations, soil donations, plant donations, we love donations. So, you know, you can find us on our website or any social media. We have Facebook and Instagram, and just send us a message with what you have. We're happy to pick it up, or you can drop it off somewhere for us.
And the schools, like, say, for example, Melrose, because I live out there, my kids were there, and that's near and dear to my heart. But do the donations for those flower beds or gardens come from you, or do they have to get those themselves? Or
sometimes they come from us. Melrose provided their own, but a lot of them come from us. We get, you know, in our grants, I usually try and put funding in for stuff like that each year for each school that we work with. But, you know, some schools are able to provide their own and some schools are not, and that's totally fine. So we're happy to provide what we can.
So if it comes to you, it'll be used.
It will.
Obviously, if it comes not go to waste. If we've gotten anything out of this show, it's anything that gets in your hands is not going to waste.
Yep. If it comes to us, it's going to go back to a school at some point.
Perfect. Well, Erin, I just thank you so much for taking time out of what sounds like a busy day every day, all day, and coming down here and letting us know about that. Also, the job opportunities available for the youth in the area. And it just sounds like a wonderful thing. I'm so thrilled to have learned more about it. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, like I said, find us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Umpqua Valley Farm to School, or our website is UVF2S.org.
Perfect. Well, thank you again for being on here.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with the Local Business Buzz sponsored by Umpqua Survival in just a couple months.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Welcome back to your queue. I'm Shannon Sebastian, and it's time for the Local Business Buzz. And the Local Business Buzz is sponsored so generously by Umpqua Survival, so thank you to them. And today, I told you I'm so excited to learn about the things that we have on the show today. I'm learning right along with the listeners. I have a Lawn Ungerman, and they are starting a new endeavor, the pizza bus. So we're ready to jump on the pizza bus and learn about it, Lawn. So thank you for coming into the studio today.
Thank you for having me.
So I know, I just have to preface this. So your wife photographed so many youngins in Douglas County that Lon's wife, Louise, Louise Ungerman, very much has photographed, oh my goodness, so many people. Kyle Bailey and I were talking about this before the show, that she photographed his daughter, and then Alan, who owns Premier Insurance, Kara Painter was one of the student, whatever you called them, promoters or whatever. And so I've seen so many of her work. And then you guys moved to Hawaii for a while, right?
Yeah, we did. One of the things with the photography studio was what we did was some of the high school students would go over to Hawaii with us.
Right.
And we did that in the wintertime because, hey, who doesn't want to be in Hawaii when it's rainy and cold here?
No, and then, but everybody wants to be there.
Exactly. And we needed to come up with a way, honestly, so we could move over full time. Mm-hmm. And we had some friends that had a pizza company, and they set us up. And we've been doing pizza in Hawaii for the last 2.5 years.
That's, you know, so cool.
Yeah, all the way through the pandemic. And the one thing about mobile food is everybody still was eating. And we didn't have the restaurant. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have to worry about the seating and all the pandemic, the COVID.
And the major overhead.
Exactly.
Of the lease. Yeah.
It's everything was grab and go. So it was really nice. But what we learned and living in Hawaii in the aloha culture was, you know, family is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely, we moved back to Douglas County to be with our kids. We have adult kids who are getting ready to have kids themselves. And we wanted to be the grandparents that were around. So
Right. We
had to come up with a way to move back to Douglas County. And the pizza bus was born.
The pizza bus.
Yep.
I just can't even, just even saying it sounds cool and fun. So so then you kind of already answered this a little bit about how long you've been in business, because you were over there doing it and now you're bringing it back to the...
Right. We've been doing pizza full time for about 2.5 years.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So, and hopefully the grandkids, because that's a darn good reason to move back. I mean, I adore mine. I have two and I love them to pieces. So I 100% agree. Yes. Got to go where the grandkids are going to be. So
we just want to be those parents.
Yep.
When we raised our kids, I was coach. Mm-hmm. I took my vacation hours around their junior high and high school. I made it every concert, every game.
Yep.
And Louise, before doing photography, actually was the director of Girl Scouts. So we've always been involved with the kids.
Right.
And that's why with the senior
and
high
now you're
school
ready for
photography.
That next generation.
The next generation. And we love having them work on our bus.
Yes. So so now moving back, why choose, because I'm curious, why choose the mobile version, even though it's growing like crazy, instead of like brick and mortar store pizza?
Location is always an issue with a brick and mortar. And then you have a lot more overhead. And to be honest with you, we're going to be becoming grandparents.
Right.
If I want to take the weekend off, mm-hmm, I can take it off. I'm not locked in 7 days a week.
Right.
You know, that sounds like a job. And we do this, and I think we do it extremely well, but we do this because of the flexibility of having the mobile business.
That's excellent. So, will you like offer catering, or will you go around and do special events with the bus? What's your vision?
Oh, you bet. We do catering. We do lunch, business lunches. You can have us set up and we serve your employees. What we want to do, and what we did in Hawaii, was a Friday night food truck park. It's just a matter of finding the right parking lot and location to do that. But we had 20 trucks in Hawaii,
mm-hmm,
that we did every Friday night, and it was a huge community event. Everybody brought the family and the kids out, and mom and dad had barbecue, kids had cheese pizza.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's such a variety when you go to, you know, a food park.
Right. My brother lives in San Diego.
Right. And they're popping up all over the country.
This is a big deal down there.
Oh,
is a big deal. They get it done all the time.
Yep.
And so, and my husband is a foodie, maybe not the kind that's like, oh, I taste this or that in it. But he's like, I like that and I like that.
Well,
so he's very adventurous with food. So
it was kind of amazing with having all those trucks. We would have people. This is during the pandemic. We would have all those people show up and literally buy something out of every truck because they wanted to support the community.
Right.
And it was just a good feeling knowing that we set that up and we ran that and everybody was able to pay their bills. And with the restaurants all being closed through that nightmare, it was hard. It was hard for a lot of people.
And it was a nightmare, that's for sure.
But yeah, having the variety of foods, being able to sample something.
Yes. So I know when I was reading like the description on it, so I want you to touch on this. It said a Neapolitan style pizza.
Yes.
Okay, so I know what I like and what tastes good to me, but tell me what that is exactly.
Well, the Neapolitan style pizza tends to be a thin, crispy crust, light sauce. I make my own dough. I make my own sauces. Mm. It's more about the ingredients, the quality of the fresh ingredients on top, and not so much the bready dough. It's not a thick pan. It's super, a lot of people call it cracker crust. So it's nice, thin, and crispy.
Sounds good.
And it's got good flavor. Since I make it myself, I've really dialed in a tasty crust.
So my next question is, will you have pizzas like a small menu, or will you sell it by the slice and have what's there, or...
We have a set menu, but we also create your own. All of our pizzas are made to order, so it's pizza. You can customize, you can do whatever you want, mix and match. But we do have a pretty good set menu, and they're all personal size pizzas. So they're 9.5 to 10 inch pizza rounds.
Oh, okay.
And it's simpler for me to do that mobily than doing the big pizzas. We've played around with the idea on some catering and doing larger pizzas for catering, and so we can serve it by the slice. But right now, if you walk up to our truck, it's all individual, made-to-order 10-inch pizzas.
Gotcha. Well, that's...
And we
made-to-order sounds pretty delightful.
We like to play around, too. So we do have kind of a secret menu, and once you get to know us, we do a pickled pig pizza, so it's ham and dill pickle. We do a shrimp pizza. And
these are things already tested out.
Like, oh, yeah.
You did on the island?
Like, Oh,
gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So if I'm going to try to get the inside scoop now. So if I come up and I'm like, Lon, what's the pizza I have to try? Show me your best. What are you giving me?
Well, the easy answer is just a we call it the Big Al, and Al was Louise's dad.
Uh-huh.
And he was born and raised in Roseburg, graduated from Roseburg. Louise graduated from Roseburg. Both our boys graduated from Roseburg. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to bring back Al to the community. He unfortunately passed away a few years ago, mm-hmm. but the Big Al is kind of our supreme. So it's got everything. But one of our best-selling ones, believe it or not, is a balsamic fig pizza. I do a garlic olive oil base, and then our cheese blend, figs, mission figs, red onion, spinach, and then a balsamic drizzle that I put over the top of that. I would have never thought a balsamic fig would be one of my top-selling pizzas, but once you try it, everybody comes back for more.
That's what I was wondering. Like, who's the person that orders that for the first time?
Or, you know,
or
it's
was
on
it
the
just you guys playing around a little bit?
I think with the food truck, people walk up and go, I can get a pepperoni pizza anywhere.
Right.
Now, granted, I sell a ton of those, but they want that unique thing from the truck that they can't get from other pizza places.
Or just to elevate it to some different level, and mm-hmm. that's definitely elevated.
Well, you know, and some people kind of, I don't understand it, but some people will frown on pizza. I don't like pepperoni, you know. And then they see all the fresh vegetables and stuff we're putting on it, mm-hmm. and it's not a thick, because it's a thin crust. It's not a thick, heavy pizza. And another one of the ones is we do a portobello blue cheese pizza that we sell a ton of. And it's the gargonzola. It's the Italian
language.
Blue cheese, so it's not super, super strong.
Mm-hmm.
But the mushroom and the fig pizzas sell like crazy at events. And again, I think it's because it's unique.
Yeah, and that's where you just have to try it mm-hmm. and be like, why not? You only live once.
And
why
it's a 10-inch pizza, and we think we're reasonably priced. Mm-hmm. The price of everything is going through the roof.
Oh, absolutely.
But we still try to run a reasonable business. I mean, it's business. We have to make mm-hmm. money, but I don't want the families not to be able to come out because of the price.
Yes. Well, I'm not done with you. If you'll hang around for this next segment here. We just got into the good stuff. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Welcome back to your Q. I'm Shannon Sebastian, and we are sponsored by the best insurance company in town, Premier Insurance. Woot woot. Promoting my own here.
I agree. They're good. They're good people.
Good people. And this is the Local Business Buzz. We wrap that up with Umpqua Survival, but I kept Lon over just for a couple more minutes here because I had a few quick questions. So
it seems everybody is interested about pizza.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. My kids could talk for you for hours, I'm sure. But I was actually just telling Lon, I was at Miss Oregon this last week. And it surprised me how many of the young ladies had like dietary restrictions or gluten-free or vegan or whatever. So how do you handle that? Do you have options for?
We sure do. It's important to us that everybody can have pizza. So we do offer, I make my own gluten-free pizzas and I have a separate cooking way to handle that. And we also do a complete vegan menu or a plant-based menu. So we have plant-based cheese. We have some plant-based pepperoni. And it's not as awful as you might think. The plant-based foods have come a long ways. So
yes.
No matter what your, I mean, there are some dietary issues that we can't handle. But for the most part, anybody can get a pizza.
So just ask. Don't assume they can't take care of you. Come up and ask them.
The gluten-free rounds are becoming a big deal.
Yeah, it just surprised me how many young ladies there were. And then we'd warm up their food. And, man, it smelled great what they were eating, too. So I was like, I didn't feel like they were missing out. But it's just so hard with all these different variables.
It is. And when you travel.
Issues. Yeah.
And especially, you were saying, you're over in the coast or you're on vacation. Mm-hmm. You've got your family and you've got kids who have issues or mom or dad has issues. It can be frustrating, and I see the stress on people's faces. And when they see our menu, they go, oh, they have gluten-free.
Right.
They know that they are going to be safe.
Right.
Or just plant-based. Medically, a lot of people are moving to the plant-based eating, and we do offer that as well.
That's excellent. So the one thing that we didn't get out and why I wanted to hold you over is how can people find the pizza bus.
Okay, so the pizza bus literally is in upper New York State right now. They just built the oven and they're looking to put it on a flatbed and going to ship it out. So become the middle of July. You can find us Facebook and Instagram at the pizza bus.
And then that's where you'll be updating people on what events you'll be or
exactly.
Where you're at.
We do have some events lined up, but we're until the bus actually physically gets here, which could be in the next week, we got our fingers crossed. I don't want to commit till I know for sure we're going to be there. But we're going to be around in town, and we really want to do the Friday night food truck event. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so
bring
there's
the kids
other
out,
vendors
everybody,
out there.
Everybody finds exactly what they want. In Hawaii, we had live music, and you know we want to try to recreate that here. A lot of the cities are doing that, and Roseburg deserves it. Douglas County deserves it. We are going to be on the rotation at some of the breweries and the wineries, the vineyards. So we'll just keep an eye out for us.
And I did ask this question, but I want to ask it on air, too. It's not actually a school bus. It's more of a
it's van. It's a shuttle bus. It's like an airport shuttle bus or an amusement park shuttle bus. It's a little bit smaller. It's 24 feet, so it's
but
a decent size.
But don't look for the school bus.
It's not going to be a yellow school bus. No, we played around about that going, should we just make it look like the yellow school bus? But
It takes up a lot more space too. So this you can park in.
I can park at my driveway.
Anywhere. Yeah.
So yeah.
So, well, I think this is just such a fun idea, and we love to see the entrepreneurship happening and
Louise
people starting new things,
yeah.
And love to have you back in Douglas County.
Louise and I are so excited to be back in Douglas County.
Yeah.
We've really missed it. We missed the community here.
Well, we are awesome, and I brag about that on every single show about how amazing we are in Douglas County. So, anyway, welcome back, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
And spreading the word. So we'll be looking out for the pizza bus coming soon.
Thank
you. To a parking lot near you.
That's right. Thank you.
And one little bit of housekeeping I need to do is the Local Business Buzz is sponsored by Umpqua Survival, and every week they give a $25 gift certificate to a lucky winner that goes into the store, looks around, and puts their name in the box. So, Dan Forrest, I will be calling you and letting you know. But you are today's lucky winner if you're listening. So, congratulations and happy shopping at Umpqua Survival. That'll be a really fun treat. Well, again, this is a wonderful treat to be back. It's been a couple weeks since I've been in the studio, and the weather's beautiful. And gosh, I just feel like we all learned so much today. And so if you have anybody that you would like to recommend on the show, give us a call at Premier Insurance, 541-672-9414. We'd be happy to help get your nonprofit organization or your locally owned and operated business highlighted here on the show. And again, Lon, thanks so much for coming. I wish you the best of luck with the pizza bus. I know we'll be a customer and try it out. So
I look forward to seeing everybody.
Yeah. And again, we just...
The response has been outstanding, to be honest with you. Every time we mention what we're doing, everybody is like, oh, really? Oh, how neat.
Yeah. So, and it's something new and
it's
different.
It's something new.
So,
it's
yeah.
Something new.
And I love the fact that the mobile restaurants are just really...
Our philosophy has always been community over competition.
Right.
And that's,
I love
that. Doesn't always go hand in hand with some of the independent businesses because they're so independent, you know, doing things their own way. But sometimes you just need to team up with a couple of people and,
yep.
and make good things happen.
And that's what this whole show's about. So
yes.
It just aligns with everything. But thank you so much, Douglas County, for another great show. And we'll be back next week with another episode of Your Cue. Until then, be kind, Douglas County.